You know, a few days ago, we participated in the most important ceremony of our lives, the most important ceremony of God's plan, and that was the Passover. During that ceremony, we ate unleavened bread and we drank wine. And these two items are used as powerful symbols for our Creator and Savior. The unleavened bread that we broke represented Christ's broken body, and the wine represented his spilt blood, the body to heal us of physical sins, and the blood to heal us of or forgive our spiritual sins. And they're very powerful symbols. Now, during these days of unleavened bread, we're commanded to eat bread that is free from all leavening agents. And furthermore, we're not permitted to eat anything that has been leavened by a leavening agent. And we've been taught during these days that the leavened bread that we eat is the pure Word of God, and the pure Word of God has no sin. There is no sin within it. And we see that leaven represents sin. So why does God choose leaven to picture sin? Now, Mr. Bowles showed us in his sermon on the first day of unleavened bread that leaven is an agent that produces air. And air is emptiness. It is puffed up. It's being puffy. It's just pretty much vanity. There is no substance to it. You can't put your hands around it. You can't hold it. But today I want to go over two other characteristics of leavening that make it appropriate and a great picture of sin, a great symbol. I want to make your note-taking very easy today. I want you to write down three words. The first one is leaven, and you can put a semicolon behind that. The second word is polymorphic, and you want me to spell that? I can't even say it. P-O-L-Y-M-O-R-P-H-I-C. And the third word I want you to write down is ubiquitous. U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-O-U-S. These words represent two characteristics of leaven. Now, the first is that leaven is polymorphic. Now, what does polymorphic mean? What kind of word is that? You look at the Greek, poly means many, and morph means forms. And we know that leavening comes in many, many, many forms. You think about yeast. You can get it in a bottle. You can get it in a cake. You can get it in packages. You can make it yourself. And it's easy to recognize yeast because you look at the bottle and it says yeast. Or you look at the baking soda and it says baking soda on it. So it's very easy to recognize that form of leavening. And we know that also that this particular polymorphic characteristic of leaven teaches us that sin is also many shapes and sizes, comes in many shapes and sizes. Some are obvious and some are not. If you turn to Mark 10 and verses 17 through 19, and we read there, "And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why call you me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother.'" Now, those commandments are against sins that are very, very obvious. The sin of murder, the sin of adultery, are like large cakes of yeast. They're easy to see, easy to recognize. But what about the sins that aren't so apparent? Turn to Matthew 16, and we'll read verses 6 through 12. Matthew 16, 6. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The leaven wasn't recognized by the disciples. Christ had to point it out. And so many times, Christ has to point out our sins before we recognize them. And it's not just the leavening agents we get rid of during this time. We have to rid ourselves of those things that have been poisoned by the leavening agents. The bread, the pastries, the things that are puffed up because of the leavening. And we go through a ritual each year. You go through your refrigerator, your pantry, and you look for obvious leavening. You look for yeast. You look for baking soda, baking powder. Easy to find sometimes, but sometimes it's kind of hidden behind, and you have to move things around. Just like in your life, you have to move things around in order to see sin. And other forms of loving, though, may not be so obvious. So you have to take these certain things out and read the ingredients to see if there is leavening within them. And we brought, a few weeks before the Passover, we bought some rosemary crackers. They were real flat and tasty and very good. And I said, boy, that would be great during the Days of Unleavened Bread. And I read the ingredients, and sure enough, there was yeast. But they were flat as could be. So God, the lesson God teaches us here is that sometimes you have to dig for sin. Sometimes it's just not obvious. And this is because sin is polymorphic. It has many, many forms. Now, what about this characteristic of ubiquitousness? I love that word. The word ubiquitous comes from the Latin ubique, which means everywhere. The second trait of leaven that we can recognize is that it's everywhere. I mean, I noticed driving here, you just look around, just as you're driving the street, you see it, just billboards, the way people act, the way people drive, and it's sin is everywhere. You know, we clean our houses every year, and if you cleaned every crack and crevice, you cleaned every part of your house, and got rid of every leavening piece of leavening or leavened product you could see or thought you could see, you know what? It's in the air. You can't get rid of it. If you take a piece of dough, you take some, and I looked this up on the internet on how to make sourdough, and it's kind of interesting. You just take some flour and some water, and you sit it up in a warm place, and eventually it leavens. It puffs up because of the yeast spores in the air. Now, what does this remind us of, perhaps? Perhaps it reminds us of what Paul said in Ephesians 2. You turn Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And you he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan's leaven is in the air. Mr. Armstrong taught us over and over again that, and it was revealed to him, that Satan broadcast his attitudes, his sins, his way of life. He broadcasts that through the air, and it affects people that way. And ubiquitous leaven can affect us if we're not careful. And the last thing I want you to do is consider the Israelites. Now, they entered into their house, passing under the doorpost, covered with the lamb's blood, and they were protected from the angel of death during the Passover. But the next day, they had to leave that house. And the next day, they walked out, and they were still surrounded by Egypt. They had to get up and leave in order to get away from Egypt. So sin and leaven are all around us, and we have to, well, we have to deal with it. We have to live with it, unfortunately, but we have to also try to get away from it. So we learn during these days that sin does puff up using hot air, which has no substance. And like vanity, vanity means air. But let's also remember that sin takes on many forms and that it is everywhere, and it takes a lot of effort to battle. Remember that leaven is polymorphic and ubiquitous.